One time when my little girl had an ear infection, she was in so much pain that she couldn't get out of bed and couldn't sleep, didn't want to stay awake, and was completely beside herself. So I went in her room, sat on her floor with a book. That book was a book that I had had for years, and it was a book that a school teacher gave to me during one of the transitions that we made into a new ministry back when they used to have things for preachers that they called poundings. If you've never heard of this, a pounding for a preacher was when you moved into the parsonage or your house and they brought you flour and cans of corn and green beans and black-eyed peas and fruit, all kinds of stuff, and it was a pounding. But this school teacher brought me a book that weighed a pound. As you would imagine a school teacher doing. And it was a book, and she really did. It weighed a pound. It was a collection of William Blake's poetry. And she said, I'm going to give you a pound of Blake, because this will last you a lifetime. And it did. So there Reese was, crying in her bed, and I grabbed a pound of Blake, and I went into her room and sat on her floor. And I said, I don't know if this will help. I don't know if this will distract. I don't know if it's going to make it worse. But I'm just going to read William Blake to you. She said, okay. And this was one of those poems. It's just called Nurse's Song. And it's from his Songs of Innocence. When the voices of children are heard on the green, and laughing is heard on the hill, my heart is at rest within my breast, and everything else still. Then come home, my children. The sun has gone down, and the dews of night arise. Come, come, leave off play, and let us away. Till the morning appears in the skies. No, no, let us play, for it is yet day, and we cannot go to sleep. Besides, in the sky the little birds fly, and the hills are all covered with sheep. Well, go and play till the light fades away, and then go home to bed. The little ones leaped and shouted and laughed, and the hills echoed. As we begin to proclaim the word of God, let us play together. Thank you, God, for being so good to welcome us into your presence each day, to create us, and to invite us to create with you. All we ask is that you guide our steps and make this impossible to understand world possible, bearable, able to live in, not just to get by, but to live as a reflection of your light. In the name of Jesus, amen. We got one Sunday, last Sunday, in the primeval narrative, Genesis 1 through 11. We're supposed to spend summer and fall in Genesis and Exodus in the way the people who structured these readings thought would be enough is one Sunday, last Sunday, all of Genesis 1 through 11, one Sunday to tell the story of Earth Point 1. And then now, on to Earth Point 2. And this second wave of creation that began with one man And a man is a man that we meet as Abram. And he's going to foreshadow a journey to come, a life of journeying and wandering and trusting. But you see, something happened between Earth Point 1 with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Noah and the flood and all that stuff that happened in that first go-around. You get to chapter 12, and Abram, later to be known as Abraham, yes, that one, Father Abraham had many sons, but something happened between the end of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. We shifted from poetry to essay. Or did we? Now, I know the beginnings of Abraham may not sound like poetry as we think. They think about it. Abraham has some poetry leanings. I mean, that time that he took Isaac up on the mountain, that has some poetry to it. And we'll get to all of that. But by poetry, I mean the language that stirs you, that moves you, that kindles a fire within you, that names things we could not name without a language that can make your heart dance like a child in the backyard who thinks that no one is watching. Because, you know, children danced back then. And you know what? Children dance now too. And I think that's part of our issue these days with all of our issues, that we have let them become way too much soundbite mini essays and not enough epic poetry. And as the good book says, there is a time to mourn, but there is also a time to dance. What you are about to hear, this is poetry. This is music. And it's going to make you want to dance. And it's going to make you want to dream. Yes, you. You think I'm talking to the person sitting next to you. I'm not. I'm talking directly to you. You're going to want to dance. And you're going to want to dream when you hear. But you may have to lean in. You may have to hear the beauty of this path that began our journey up to today. This is the journey that begins our new creation. This is the beginning of Genesis 12. After the primeval narrative, the beginning of a new story that comes up to today. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great generation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. The one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved onto the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west an eye on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. Listen to the poetry and come dream with God. This is an invitation to you right here. This is an invitation to us to dare to be inspired by the living God. And that's a dare. That is a dare. Dare you to let yourself be inspired by the living God. Because I got news for you. There's not a whole lot out there these days that fills me with inspiration. But you know what? These kinds of stories, this word of the Lord in places like Genesis 12, gatherings like this, in this room, in the name of Jesus, allow yourself to be inspired. This is an invitation to us. Some days we may have to shift our belief about what God is up to in the world, but that's okay. You live long enough as a follower of Jesus, and you're going to have to shift your belief every once in a while about what God is up to in the world. And think about it. Think about what the world looked like to you 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Well, here's what God's up to. Guess what? God's still God. God hasn't changed. The world does, but God is still up to something. God is God, and God blesses us as we seek to follow. And like Abram, when we see the promises of God coming true, we're going to do what Abram did. We will build an altar and we'll put up a tent. And if that doesn't sound poetic enough for you, think about what people do when they build things. What do people do when they build things? We live in a society now where our children are growing up not having to do a whole lot of manual labor. And I think they're missing out on something. Because when I had to, as a child, when I had to tend a garden and feed pigs and shoot rats and drag hay around when I was a kid, I have to admit that I hated every minute of it. Every minute of it. I didn't really hate every minute of it, just 59 out of 60 every hour, but I remember being with my grandfather while we fed pigs. And I remember being with my stepdad while we pulled weeds in the garden. And I don't remember the sweat and the blisters and how much I wanted to go inside. You know what I remember about those days? I remember a sound. And it was the sound of whistling. Because my grandfather and this stepdad were really good whistlers. I can still hear it. And it created beauty in the midst of the very difficult. This is why when William Blake wrote his Songs of Innocence, one of which we read just a few moments ago, he also wrote Songs of Experience, a companion piece that deals with the harder side of life. The parts that it's harder to see the beauty, and yet he names his fear with words of beauty. Perhaps the most famous one, the tiger. You know that one? If you don't, welcome to your flashback to high school English. Tiger, tiger, burning bright. In the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry. In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? And what shoulder and what art could twist the sinews of thy heart? And when thy heart began to beat, what dread hand and what dread feet? What the hammer? What the chain? And what furnace was thy brain? What the anvil? What dread grasp dare its deadly terrors clasp? When the stars threw down their spears and watered heaven with their tears, did he smile his work to see? Did he who made the lamb make thee? Tiger, tiger burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry? Look, building altars is hard work. And putting up big canvas dwellings out in the desert, it's hard work. And making decisions together year after year after year as a church, is actually a combination. It's a combination of children laughing on the hill and fearful symmetry. And it is hard work. But if we remember to sing while we do the hard work of creation, and write our poetry, and even whistle occasionally, it's during those moments that we become the creative hands of God. In the movie Contact, when Ellie travels to an alien world, she arrives to a world of startling beauty that they created for her to help her feel a connection. But when she first sees this new world, the first thing that she says is, "They should have sent a poet." Amen.